Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And when you get it, if you'll stand, please. Mark 4, verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's pray. Father, thank you for your words as we lift them to you, Lord, from our hearts. I pray this morning that we do what you have been teaching us, that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see. Pray for everyone here, Lord, especially me, that you would give me the words just to be your messenger, that all I would do would be to glorify you and lift you up. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we've been going through Mark in the last several chapters, you know, we've gone through the parables of Jesus. The parables are kind of grouped together. We're going to get into some of his miracles now. They're kind of grouped together as the Holy Spirit led Mark to do so. Some were after another. Others doesn't necessarily mean that they happened one after another, but this is the way the Holy Spirit had Mark write them, to group them together so we could see what they were teaching in a better light. As we said before, Jesus used parables in different ways, but so that the people could hear them. Remember that? Remember what we said? A parable is a teaching of Jesus. And Lisa had put it on the sign out here, referring to a story from nature or human life to illustrate a spiritual truth by provoking reflection or getting you to make a decision. Remember we talked about the parables, that the reason Jesus started using them is some of the people were not listening to him. All they wanted to see was some miracles and have things done for them. They were not hearing with their ears. And when it says over here that seeing that they may not perceive, we said, remember, God does not keep them from hearing. They have the opportunity to hear. The parables were there that so that those that had the spirit and the want to hear more of the word of God, they would be enlightened and they would be able to perceive and be able to understand, and the Holy Spirit would help them understand more. In other words, remember what we said, the more you delve into the scripture, the more you pray, the more you have a heart for God, the closer he's going to bring you into him and let you understand even more of his word than you've been able to understand before. The miracles are much in the same way. We now come to some of the miracles of Jesus, and we just read the first one here. We need to remember that the Bible says there were many miracles, and there were many parables, and many healings, and many things that Jesus did that are not in the scriptures. The scriptures are just a small touch of what Jesus did. I don't know how he had time to do them all. The Bible says the world couldn't contain the books to write the things that he did for the Jewish people, for them to see, to bring them to him. Did God give all? He gave all, didn't he? Essentially in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pull people to him that they might be saved. So I told you the Holy Spirit grouped these together to show the teaching from the parables together and to get a good grasp of it. And then the miracles, which possibly show the authority and the power behind God. He had shown them the parables. He had given them his word. Now he's going to show them through the miracles who he is in power and in authority, so they can visibly see them, so they can understand them. I've given you the definition of a parable. Now let me give you a definition of a miracle. Specifically, miracles are signs of the nearness of the kingdom of God, the revealing the power of Jesus as the Son of God. Okay? The kingdom of God remembers the reigning of Jesus in the hearts of the men and the women on the earth. That's what the kingdom of God is. So in essence, it is the signs of the nearness of the kingdom of God, Jesus reigning in mind and your hearts, revealing his power as the Son of God. That's what these miracles were for, so that they could see them. We have the nature miracles, such as this one here, shows the Lord Jesus his power over nature as well as his ability and authority over individuals. You need to remember, they didn't fully realize who Jesus was at this time. They knew he was a teacher from God, a rabbi from God. They called him a prophet from God. But knowing him as a son of God, the true son of God, and who he was, they didn't realize that yet. We have a tremendous advantage. We have it in our hands. If you have faith to believe it, to know who he is, go back and read the book of John. He starts off trying to tell you who Jesus Christ is. But these people, even the disciples, didn't fully realize it yet. So he's beginning to show them, and he's really fixing to show them one in this one here. So remember, they were just coming off the parables, off the teachings, his disciples and others that were listening to these. Okay? So his power over nature and his authority over individuals. Warren Wiersbe says, Jesus Christ is the master of every situation and the conqueror of every enemy. I like that. Jesus Christ is the master of every situation and the conqueror of every enemy in your life and my life. Hallelujah. That's who he is. That's who he's raised to be. So look at verse 35 again. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. I think if you really studied on it and want to, you can make a whole sermon just off of that one verse right there. Okay? But we're going to look at it. Let us cross over. This was going to Gentile territory now. Okay? You remember the Jews did not go through Gentile territory unless they had to. And if they did, they did not spend the night unless they had to. They went straight through. Most of the time, they would go around if they could. Because the Jews did not associate with Gentiles, right? They were dirty. They were not godly. They were not the ones that God had chosen in their mind, really, remember? So for Jesus to say, let us cross over, probably one of the first things that enters the disciples' mind was, and they didn't say anything about it, was, he's going to the other side. That's Gentile territory over there. Why in the world is he going over there? First teaching, Jesus' gospel goes to the whole world and goes to everyone. It's not limited to those that think they can take God and just hold them in their pocket or claim them for themselves. The gospel is open to everyone, and I'm glad that it is. Amen? That's the first teaching we get here. Second one, he said, get in the boat with me. That's a whole sermon in itself, right? You've heard them before. Pastors will take that and go with it, and I don't blame them. Get in the boat with me. What does that mean for you individually? You know that. You're smart people. That's life, right? As a Christian, that's life. That's a journey. Get into the boat with me. Now remember, especially Peter and James and John and the rest of them, many of these were professional fishermen. They were raised on this lake. They've been on this lake. They fished on this lake. They knew what was out there in that lake. They didn't say anything to Jesus, but I promise you, in their mind, it was like, he's wanting to go now. Across this lake at this time, and we're going to Gentile territory. He's mixing them up, isn't he? He's getting them out of their comfort zone, isn't he? We mentioned that this morning, didn't we, Miss Cindy? I think I told you, Miss Cindy was talking about getting up here. And I told her, I said, for the first time I met Susan, for all these years we've been married, she's always told me, she said, you just do everything to get me out of my comfort zone, don't you? You know? Jesus is getting these disciples, these Jewish men, with their mindset. Just by these few words, they're out of their comfort zone already. They're going to a place they don't want to go. They're getting into a situation they don't want to be in because of experiences in life. Remember these four things. If you're writing them down, write these down. These four miracles in Mark that we're eventually going to get through represent these things. They represent victory that we have through Jesus. Number one, they represent victory in danger. That's what we're going to study today. Number one, represent victory in danger. Number two, they represent victory over demons. Okay? Number three, they represent victory over disease. And number four, they represent victory over death. Amen? Hallelujah. This is what he's going to show them if we study through these miracles. Jesus had been teaching the parables of the kingdom, and the apostles were given the ability to hear that. Remember, others couldn't understand it, but he would tell them later what they meant. Plus, we have scripture that says, Jesus said to you, the apostles, it has been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, Mark 4:11. So they understood the parables a lot better than other people did because Jesus was teaching them and it had been given them the ability to understand these parables. You remember when they sat with him, they asked him why the parables, because they didn't really understand why the other people weren't understanding it as they were. Sometimes we have to be careful of that in church too. We've been in church so long, other people come in, and younger people or other people, and sometimes we take it for granted. Well, they already know what this means, and they don't. So we need to be careful of that. They had heard and understood the Jesus words, but now, I like this. They'd understood the words, but that must produce faith, right? Hearing the words, if you're hearing them right, it must produce faith. Romans 10:17 tells us what? You know this one. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, preaching, teaching, whatever, and then hearing the word of God. The Bible promises us, if you hear it, that produces faith. If you want to learn more, if you have an ear to hear, if you have a yearning to it, the Lord will increase your faith through learning his word and applying his word to your life. But here's the thing with them. Their faith was being increased. They were hearing the word. But now comes to the point many of us don't want or like, and they didn't either. Faith must be tested. Their faith had to be tested, and now was the point for one of the tests. Right? We all go through that in life. To be a disciple, if we're going to preach, if we're going to teach, if we're going to be a shining light, God permits trials so that our faith grows and we produce fruit. And many of the fruit trees that y'all have and many of the things that you do, what do? You have to prune them back sometime, don't you? You have to get rid of the dead limbs. You have to get rid of the dead leaves. And the Lord does that in our lives sometime, and it hurts when he breaks off those limbs and get rid of those things so that we can produce fruit. We have storms that come through sometime that takes the trees in nature, and it'll get rid of limbs and everything. That's God just pruning his nature back. We may not like it because it gets rid of some of the trees we have, but it does good for those that still live and thrive because they can grow with new growth. And the Lord does that sometimes so that we will produce fruit. He said, come get into the boat with me. When we're little and we're in Sunday school and growing up, we love that, wouldn't we? The pictures of Jesus and Jesus gathering the children and everything. And he said that to you. That'd be, yeah, let's jump into the boat with Jesus. As you get older, you're going to do it because you love him, but you might be a little slow because you know what it is. It's some of the tests, some of the trials. Lord, it's not always good for me. Ultimately it is, but there's trials. And he says, yes, but get into the boat with me. And look at this in verse 36. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Jesus stayed in the boat after his teaching. He was pushed off from the side. The multitudes were so great, he got into a boat. They pushed him off into the water a little bit so that he could teach. As soon as that was older, he didn't clean up. He didn't get out. He was tired. He was still teaching. He said, now come get into the boat. We still got some things to do. Jesus stayed in the boat from teaching. Now from teaching to sharing, now to a service, and now to a demonstration of living by faith. So teaching should produce faith. Learning should produce faith. Being in God's word should produce faith. Look at verse 37. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Like I told you before, these fishermen that had been on this lake, when Jesus said, come get into the boat with me, we're fixing to go across the lake. I promise you, immediately they thought of these storms that come on the Lake of Galilee. It was late in the evening. The Lake of Galilee is famous for its sudden storms because of the way it sits and the cliffs and everything. The shears come down from the winds, and it's famous for sudden storms, very fierce storms coming up. I promise you these fishermen knew about that. They didn't say anything to Jesus. They got in the boat, but I promise you in the back of their mind, it was, you know what, we could have a storm out here. You know, it could be bad. I hope he knows what he's doing when he asked us to do this. But we're going to get into the boat, but they might not have hopped in. You see what I'm saying? These were experienced fishermen on this lake. They knew it well. But Jesus certainly knew that the storm was coming. When he asked them, invited them to get into the boat with them, he knew the plan for the day, didn't he? That the storm was going to happen. He already knew it. He knew they were going to go through a test. And he said, come on, come get in the boat with me. It was part of the day's plan, but the disciples didn't know that. It's part of God's plan for our life, and we don't know it. Jesus says, get in the boat with me. Get in the boat with me. We can't see the storms. We don't know when they're coming. But we love him. We belong to him. We trust him. And we get in the boat. And he asked us to. This boat was a fishing boat. We can tell from it. It was a little bigger boat than the other ones that were with him, because it says they were little boats. This boat was a bigger boat because we know it at least held 13, don't we? Him and the 12 disciples, apostles, maybe a few more. So it was a little bigger fishing boat, but the fishing boats were low on the sides, all of them, so they could cast the nets over and everything out. So as this storm came, it says the wind was blowing the water and it was coming over into that boat already. Okay? Now these experienced fishermen, what do you think they did when they were caught in the storms out there? When they had just left, they beat it back to the shore, right? Okay? That's probably what they wanted to do. But they didn't. Look here in verse 38. They want to go back to the shore, I promise you. Verse 38, he says, but where was he? He was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. When you go through storms in life, you look to God. You don't want him to be in the stern, asleep on the pillow, do you? Bible says he never sleeps nor slumbers. Jesus was tired. He was human. He'd been teaching all day. But don't you know it was his plan, though, to go get a little sleep and be asleep on that pillow when this storm arose? And their hearts were pounding and they were beating and they were looking at this storm. And they knew how bad it could get. It was already bad. And the water was coming into the boat. And the wind was blowing the boat. And they looked for Jesus because they'd seen him do miracles before. And they're wondering, well, where is he? He's asleep in the stern. The stern part had a place underneath where you could get in these boats. He was on a pillow in there. That the pillow was the one that they used, the one that would get the nets. Or back there, they would use it on their knees. So there was a pillow there. And he was asleep on that in the midst of the storm. A plan of God. When your life fills with water, are you in a little boat just following with Jesus like the others? Or are you in the boat with him? That's the plan of salvation. When God called you that day, that night, or whatever, and you walked down the aisle, what did Jesus essentially say to you through the Holy Spirit? Come get in the boat with me. Come get in life with me. Give your life to me. Trust me. Because we're going to go through and we're going to go across the lake, which is life. There's going to be storms. There's going to be turmoil. There's going to be everything. But do you trust me? Are you going to get in the boat with me? I hope that's what we did when we said we gave our life to him, that you trusted him in that way. Look at verse 38. Now I want to finish verse 37. They looked at him emphatically. And they said, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Now, in the Greek, this is much more emphatic than it is right here. And Matthew and Luke even water it down a little more. But they were upset. Okay, the wording here is actually, this is a strong rebuke from the apostles. They were fearful for the life. It's actually teacher. Notice they didn't say Lord. They said teacher. Teacher, are we to drown for all you care? That's what it really means. Are you going to let us drown? You brought us out here on this lake. Are you just going to let us drown? That's the wording of it. That's the emphatic nature of it that they said. That's the fear in their human minds right there. Are you going to let us drown? And he was asleep in the stern. Verse 38. It says he arose and he rebuked the wind said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us any more about these little boats. We assume they all made it, or it probably would have told us some different things. But they were with Jesus, and they were in smaller boats. Don't forget that. But they had heard the parables of Jesus talking about the nature and the other things of what the kingdom of God was. Okay? God reigning in their heart. Now they needed to see who he was. You see, that's what he spent his time doing, trying to convince them and show them that he was God in the flesh. So now they see the power and the authority over nature. They're fearful. Okay? They're fearful for their life. Fear can do an incredible thing. Okay? The closest, and some of you might have stories, but the closest I've ever been, I might have told you this, was at the plant over here when we had a release of gas that happened in an engine room. W.A., you're familiar with Wayne. You know what I'm talking about. Donnie. Number 12, Donnie. We had the valves out. And a big valve opened that wasn't supposed to open. And about 300,000 cubic feet of gas was released in the engine room with us standing there. It took tools and threw them against the wall. Okay? All the big tools we had. We were not far from it. Me and Clayton and Reagan. Why didn't it spark? I don't know. One spark is all it would have taken. But the time we got that situation under control, I can tell you what adrenaline does. Adrenaline can help you be strong, but adrenaline can kill you. I found that out. I thought I was having a heart attack. I did. But that's my point here. They were scared to that point for life. And then all of a sudden, Jesus stands and he rebukes the wind and the waves, and there's peace. Now, the word here in the Greek for rebuke is the same word that is used for rebuking demons. It's the same word. It means to muzzle. He muzzled the storm. He used power over the storm. Now, some commentators said whether there was demonic stuff behind the storm or not, it doesn't matter. Whether God allowed that to happen or not, it doesn't matter. It was the same result. He rebuked and he muzzled the storm with his authority and his power. Isn't it good to know that he can do that in your life the same way? Whatever's in your life, whatever storm you're in, Jesus has the power to muzzle it, to rebuke it, and to bring calm in it. He spoke the words, "Peace be still," and the wind ceased, and there was a calm. But then he said to them these things. Now remember what I've told you about the questions in the Bible. When Jesus asks a question, there's always a more pointed thing to his question than what you see on the surface. You need to think deeply with these questions. He said, "Why are you so fearful?" Well, yeah, I'm here. I just calmed the storm. Why are you so fearful? But what he's asking them underneath and what he's asking us is, what is the fear in life that really keeps you from believing and having faith in God, in Jesus? What is the fear in life that keeps you from serving, from getting in the boat, and from really, really living every single day with the knowledge and the faith that he has you in his hands, and that he loves you so much that he died for you on the cross? That's what he was asking. He's teaching them, remember, look, guys, you disciples, look, what is the true fear in your life? Okay? It wasn't just the storm. It was that. But what is the true fear in your life? And then he says, how is it that you have so little faith? He was rebuking them just a little bit. He didn't expect them to have tremendous faith at this point. He wanted them to think about this later as they went through the journey with him. The same as us, as we go through the journey of life with Christ. What about our faith? How is it that we have so little faith? Okay? It's not a strong rebuke. It's a question to get you to think, just like the parables, to look back at yourself and to say, what is the fear in my life? Okay, because it affects our faith. The Lord himself was with them, okay, as they crossed over. Like I said, Jesus knew the storm was coming, and he knew what was going to happen to them, but they could see that he had peace. Psalm 4:8 tells us, "I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." That's a wonderful verse to know. "I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And all the storms in life and all the things that life can happen. And many of you have been through things you can't even imagine. I know that. And you've got testimonies you could tell of how God has increased your faith and brought you through it. And you were in the boat with Jesus. And that's the teaching today. That he has increased your faith. That he's been with you. What a testimony you can have for other people in what God has brought you through. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? Why do you have so little faith? Fear, okay, brings unbelief. Or unbelief causes fear. Fear makes you question whether Jesus really cares. Let me say that again. Unbelief causes fear. Fear makes you question whether Jesus really cares. They asked Jesus that. Do you care whether we're going to die or not? You're asleep. Do you care whether we're fixing to perish? You're asleep. So there was a little unbelief in who he was and what he could do, but he did the miracle to show them this. Now I want you to look at the last thing. We're fixing to quit. Look how quickly their mind went off of their life, of their fear of losing their life. Look how quickly their mind went off of the fact of what was happening to them when they saw the power and the authority of who he was. Okay? Look at this last verse. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now their emphasis went off of the storm they were in onto him, didn't it? And that's what he wanted to happen. You need to concentrate on me in the storms. You need to concentrate on who I am in the storms. These miracles show the power and the authority that I have not only over nature, but over you. And it's all love that is over you. The things that I can do for you. The way I can hold you. The question makes us look inwardly what Jesus said. I'm going to read you another one from Psalms. It says, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? I'm going to give you one thing and then we're going to close. At the very first of this miracle, in verse 35, they had an assurance already that they wouldn't have to worry about anything. What was it? He said, let us cross over to the other side. That's a promise. That wasn't, come on, we're going to try to go. No. Jesus said, you get in a boat with me, I'm going to get you to the other side. It's a promise in Scripture. You get in a boat with Jesus, it's going to be storms in life. He uses them to build our faith. He uses them to glorify God. He uses them to help other people. No, it's not easy, and he knows that. But it is an assurance from God. He's going to get us to the other side. He's going to get us to where we're supposed to be. And he's with us the whole time. He wasn't standing on the other side waiting for them to get there. He was with them the whole through the storm. He got wet too. Didn't he? He got wet too. He was thrown about in the boat too, even though he was sleeping. But he had faith in his Father. A demonstration of what we're supposed to have is faith in God no matter what. And the promise, we're going to get to the other side because he holds us. Amen. 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 Amen.